Deconstructing PSYOPs, propaganda, and mainstream media BS. You're with Brian McClain on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The number of veterans, service members, and their spouses who recommend a career in uniform has dropped sharply in these past 2 years. With hunger, hardship, woke culture, and the Afghanistan pullout being blamed for a recruitment crisis. Is that all? Is that all? I have to wonder. I mean, this is, I got to stop right there and start editorializing. I'm sorry. It's my thing. Just pundit myself into oblivion here. But might it also have something to do with experimental shot requirements? Could it be the vaccine? I don't know. Could it be? We need a church lady. We need a vaccine church lady here. Research from the Military Family Advisory Network, MFAN, found that the number of military personnel who would advise others to enlist sank nearly 12 points to 62.9% between 2019 and 2021. Well, woke culture in the military, that certainly is a turnoff, a massive turnoff. We actually featured on the Boiler Room podcast on Alternate Current Radio, we featured a video a few weeks back from NAVSEA. NAVSEA is a Navy military organization, and it was talking about the woke stuff. It was basically a rainbow month. It was a gay pride month sort of advertisement from NAVSEA. I would have never thought I'd see anything like that. I've worked with NAVSEA employees before. Go ahead, cancel me, woke mob. Please cancel me. I dare you. I will not behave like the non-binary trans activist that works at Lockheed Martin and delete my Twitter account because I'm ashamed to be taken down by the woke mob. You guys go ahead, dox me. I don't care. Come on over. Bring a tank. Come on over. Knock on the door. I'll see you here. That's how it should work in social media. Don't let yourself be canceled. There's no need. Cancellation is sort of a self-indulgent virtue signal in a way. But hey, you know, I've been canceled from Twitter by Twitter itself, not by users looking to dox me or whatever. Who cares about that? Who cares about that? The companies themselves, though, that's another matter. Those surveyed complained of being cash-strapped and even going hungry. Others warned that the U.S. military was becoming another casualty of the culture wars, with woke criticism of the armed forces deterring new recruits. Well, yeah, we could see that kind of, we can smell that vibe on that last article that we covered in the other segment there. David Maxwell, a 30-year Army Special Forces veteran, said the U.S. military was struggling to enlist newcomers when it needed to build up manpower for a potential confrontation with heavyweight foes like Russia or China. Yeah, well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Maybe we shouldn't be starting potential confrontations with heavyweight foes like Russia or China. Okay. And of course, it's also worth mentioning that David Maxwell again said the military is a family business, and if military families are telling their children not to sign up, that sends a powerful message to everyone else, including people who are patriotic and motivated. So there you go. There you have it. Pretty amazing that this is the case, but are we surprised? No. At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we got you covered on TNT Radio.
Telling it like it is.
They're not afraid to be them.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, I'm joined by CC Woods and Adam Lowe for this next segment. CC, Adam, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning.
Doing great. Good.
All right. So, I'm glad to have you back, Adam. Glad to have you back, CC. What's going on? What's new in the world? Tell me about some corruption or something to get me fired up here.
Oh, there's so much corruption in Los Angeles. It's scary. I do believe at this point that Los Angeles tops the charts with respect to political corruption. It's astounding, to say the least. So we've got multiple things going on right now. I believe we talked about the Karen Bass endorsement by President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton, which again made news in the last couple of days. Interestingly enough, a week after it happened, it's recirculating through the media, just trying to make their point, right? Let's make our point. We're supporting our girl, Karen Bass. We want to partner with her. The White House wants to partner with the city of Los Angeles to clean up the homeless situation and improve public safety. What a joke, okay? What a joke. And again, the fact that they want to have their tentacles reach deeply into the city of Los Angeles from Washington, D.C., why they are so concerned about the city of Los Angeles is also extremely concerning. And and that goes along with the controversy surrounding the Soros-backed DA, George Gascon recall. And now the way that the signatures are being verified is it's a big controversy right now. And the recall group is stating that the signatures are not being counted properly. I'm hearing from political high ups in LA that this recall is not going to pass. And if it doesn't pass, I'm going to tell you right now, all these other stories that are surrounding this whole situation in Los Angeles and anything to do with LA politics is absolutely calculated. And clearly, Washington, D.C. is letting us know that they are involved. And so I'm going to pass the torch right now over to Adam and let him start with his commentary. And at the end of this program, the last thing we're going to talk about is an Olympic controversy, a story that Adam and I have been working on and that Adam actually started last year. We'll break that too here on TNT. So, Adam.
So we can definitely start with Karen Bass. one of the interesting things about Karen Bass's campaign is that a week or two ago, she decided to revoke a endorsement of Fasil Gill, who's running for the city attorney's office here in Los Angeles. And Mr. Gill's platform is that he is going to refuse to prosecute any misdemeanors. And I believe Rick Caruso called out Karen on this topic. But, you know, where we're going with this is we have people like Karen Bass, who's running for mayor, and, you know, she's obviously moved up the political chain and has lots of good friends. But, you know, her very good friend, Mr. Gill, if he's elected as the city attorney, is going to not prosecute misdemeanors in Los Angeles. So I don't know what the city attorney does other than prosecute misdemeanors. That's what they're supposed to do. But, you know, this is scary. Karen Bass, you know, calls Mr. Gill a friend. And it's scary that if Karen gets elected, her friends and Mr. Gill gets elected, that it's we're not going to have prosecutions and misdemeanors. It's going to be Gascon 2.0. That's really, really troubling to me. And, you know, we have another great candidate in the runoff, Heidi Feldstein Soto, who's this amazing attorney. And, you know, she doesn't get the kudos that she does. She has homeless plans and she has plans for how to keep the community safe. And she's smart and she's dedicated to her life to advocacy. And, you know, it's scary to me that we're going to now have a DA like Gascon who's not prosecuting prosecuting murderers and is not doing the enhancements as he should. And then on top of that, we could have a city attorney like Mr. Gill who isn't going to prosecute misdemeanors. You know, so that's one way to clear out our jails or to deal with the zero bail issues. We just don't prosecute anyone or arrest anyone. So, you know, that's one thing with Karen Bass. It's frightening, and especially as a parent, you know, having somebody who's not going to deal with some of these very significant misdemeanors, it's very scary. And we should all be very concerned, especially if the Gascon recall doesn't work.
Adam, I think we should also move in. Oh, sorry about that, Brian. I want him to follow up when you're done with the raid that is going to be happening locally. And we know we have a national raid that just took place. Brian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I want to hear about that. But Adam, isn't it also the case that the many definitions of misdemeanors have changed over the past couple of years? So when we're talking about misdemeanors, we're actually in some cases talking about certain events that would have been felonies just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. They've changed. And, you know, we don't think about, you know, when we think about misdemeanors, there's a very wide variety of different things, but, you know, and then some of them are little, but they have massive impacts. You know, we are working on a case where one of the people involved in the case, during the height of COVID, had a super spreader party. It was covered on the news. LAPD and the LA County Sheriff's eventually shut it down. A very famous individual. And, you know, you think that's he had a party, but it was a super spreader party in the middle of COVID. So you have to ask yourself, how many people contracted COVID during that time period or at that party, and how many people died from the contact at that party? So, you know, one of the things when we look at corruption and when we look at these types of things, you have to really look at the ripple effect and how the corruption sort of snakes through other avenues and other areas. We have a whistleblower incident at LAUSD, a retaliation incident where a whistleblower was retaliated against, and we followed it all the way to the city of Ventura police chief. So, you know, all of these things, they're all interconnected. So not prosecuting misdemeanors could have huge residual effects later.
Yeah, yeah, that makes good sense. There's a trickle down effect, absolutely. And these things, they keep changing them, you know. It's like the theft stuff, you know. It's like it used to be, you go in and you do theft from a store, and you would be looking at something. You'd be looking at a problem. But now they're saying you can steal. You can go into a store and steal up to almost $1,000 worth of merchandise, like $900, and that would just be considered a misdemeanor. So still, you know, there's some dissuasion for people to do that and get a misdemeanor. But now if all these pieces fall into place here between Karen Bass, the person running for city attorney's office, Mr. Gill, and all their friends, their, you know, radio air quotes friends, all of a sudden, the people, the criminals of LA will say, oh, well, I can just do all these misdemeanor crimes and know that, you know, I'm going to get hooked up at worst and then let go, and there's not going to be any prosecution. So I can just consider this my job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you know, the really scary part is the only guy who's really pro-law enforcement and really is fighting for the safety of the citizens of LA County, Sheriff Villanueva, you know, the Board of Supervisors is trying to cover up their own corruption and impeach him. Let me tell you, if we get Robert Luna as our sheriff, in my opinion, it is going to be an absolute meltdown. Kids won't be able to go outside. Homelessness will be out of control. You know, you don't want a sheriff that gets along with the electeds. You want a sheriff that challenges the electeds and make sure that everything is good and up and running. And so, you know, this sheriff election, it frightens me, because if we have another lackey to the LA County supervisors, the corruption is going to go it's going to be, we won't even be able to handle it. I mean, my, our firm, the ATM Advocacy Group, I must have a backlog of 30 cases. You know, this is just in Los Angeles. This doesn't count our national cases and our global cases. So, you know, we really as voters need to think about who we're electing and not believe the propagandists, the demagogues. You know, I often compare Sheila Kuehl and Holly Mitchell to, you know, Hitler and Triumph of the Will. You know, it's just this demagoguery of nonsense that's going to hurt the people. And that, you know, that's my opinion. But, you know, I think many people share that opinion that these supervisors are just out of control with this corruption.
And it's reaching back to Washington, which is even worse. So our local politics is not just staying local. Like Washington is too interested in Los Angeles, and they're showing it, and they're flexing their muscle. And that is what is most concerning.
And, you know, Cece, one of the reasons I think they're doing that, they're so concerned about Los Angeles, is because, you know, what's going on here in Los Angeles could take down the Biden administration very quickly and very easily. And, you know, we were talking just a second ago about the raid on Mar-a-Lago with President Trump. Well, you know, there's some other raids that might be happening. You know, it is entirely possible that that two nominees are going to be visited by law enforcement. Biden nominees are going to be visited by law enforcement in the next couple of weeks. It is entirely possible that charges could be filed, or indictments could be filed against two nominees from Los Angeles from the Biden administration. It's entirely possible that law enforcement could be going into the LA Metro building and confiscating computers and documents and files. And it's entirely possible that my firm has emails between Sheila Kuehl and the mayor's staff giving nonprofits the ability to charge whatever they want for their services, and that the board would approve it. And then we may have another email that Eric Garcetti's aide Dan Rodman not only strong-armed executives at Metro to overpay a contract for one of the mayor's friends, but we also may have some text messages that show that Dan Rodman, Eric Garcetti's representative, forced the agency to pay for $75,000 for a $30,000 contract without it ever going to bid or without ever being approved by the board. So there's a lot of, there might be some things that happen. And I think that the Democrats are on a high horse with Mar-a-Lago, and I think that's going to probably be shattered in the coming weeks and months.
Well, that's certainly going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So if all this goes down with Karen Bass, and if Sheriff Villanueva is out, and Mr. Gill is in, and the DC has their way, we will see their utopia unfold. It will come to completion, right? They'll have their social justice utopia will be fully manifest, and everything will be better at that point. Right, CC, everything's going to get better because we'll have the utopia that they want.
Oh, everything is going to be so much better. As if it could, on a daily basis, I wake up and I'm in a relationship with a deputy sheriff. And so I'm scared to death of him going to work on a daily basis. And the thought of even just being here, just walking around town, like you can't wear your jewelry anymore. You can't wear, I'm afraid truly, even in Manhattan Beach, which is a very safe environment. And it is scary to think of what is what our life could potentially be, which is worse in Los Angeles in terms of public safety, the dwindling down of law enforcement presence on our streets. And it really is a scary reality to live in Los Angeles. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, tourists, spend your money somewhere else. Go somewhere else where they care about public safety, because LA is not it. It just isn't. And to see the corruption surrounding now, the blatant corruption now with the counting of the signatures of this recall, which there is no question, people from every different party came out in droves because they are concerned. And a lot of them had buyer's remorse with Gascon. He fed him this, you know, this utopia of, you know, reform, and it completely 180'd. Thank God San Francisco had their head on straight. Okay. They were able to successfully recall. And I truly believe Soros did not think that that recall was going to go through, which is why now they are coming. They're going, holy crap, what happened? That this wasn't, voters were not supposed to show up at the polls. We were not supposed to have enough signatures. We know how to win this, right? As evidenced by the last presidential election, mind you. Anyway, so this recall in LA, because they lost their footing in San Francisco, is now under scrutiny, because you know they are messing with the whole system, just like they did with the presidential election. They are doing it again with this. And it's blatant. It's in our face. It's, we don't care. We have an agenda. We're going to get our agenda through. And that's the same thing also with the Board of Supervisors giving themselves the power to remove the elected sheriff, the people who elected the sheriff. We are losing our rights to, if this should pass, we will lose our right to recall, whether we want to recall an elected or not. We lose that right. So why even bother having an election for a sheriff if they can just remove him and find their own quote, air quote, you know, cause to remove him? So they are messing with every single aspect of our God-given constitutional rights. So here we are. That's Los Angeles.
Yeah. That's pretty scary, you know, with what's happened in Mar-a-Lago. The term banana republic is being tossed around quite a bit this week. And yeah, I think it might fit in here too. So Adam, real quick before we go to bottom of the hour break here. So this potential raid you're talking about, we're hearing names like Sheila Kuhl, Dan Rodman. That would be... Am I clear that that would be a good thing, right? These are people that we would like to see maybe indicted for something.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a good thing. It depends on which side you're on, right? It's a good thing for the citizens of Los Angeles County. Millions of dollars are being diverted to friends of the mayor. Millions of dollars are being diverted to friends of Sheila Kuhl, the Holly Mitchell. All these supervisors are diverting all of these funds to their buddies. The issue is that then we read articles about how bus services being cut and services to the community are being cut. And so this is incredibly, incredibly important. I think that the mayor is probably done with his ambassadorship opportunities for India. I can't imagine a situation where Joe Biden would want to open up the can of worms with Phil Washington. And, you know, one of the interesting things, I was speaking to the Washington Post the other day, they are very interested in a gentleman named Alex Wiggins, who was a co-conspirator of Philip Washington. And I think that one of the things we're going to see very quickly is that the law enforcement is going to come down on this gentleman who's now the CEO of New Orleans Transit, and we're going to have a prisoner's dilemma game going on. And I think that this guy is going to spill the beans because he was fired for fraud in Chicago. He was fired for racism in Los Angeles. And now he's going to have the law enforcement coming down on him in New Orleans. So I think that there's a lot of things that we don't know yet, but I think there is going to be a significant number of Biden appointees, and not just Washington and Garcetti, but some other people who are going to be looked at very carefully. And I think in the Mark Ridley Thomas indictments that we have here in Los Angeles, Mark Ridley Thomas was also a member of the LA Metro Board who was involved in all of this. And I, you know, they've said, the prosecutors have said there are more indictments potentially coming down. So we haven't, you know, the problem with the FBI is they don't really share anything except for sound bites. But I have a feeling that you're going to see some things going on. And, you know, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, I was contacted by law enforcement and asked to submit a 23-page. I ended up submitting a 23-page affidavit of all the evidence that we had compiled to law enforcement and to the, and that has been turned over to the FBI. So there is a public corruption investigation of Phil Washington, which would in every way involve Eric Garcetti, Sheila Kuehl, Hilda Solis. There is a federal investigation going on. I'm 100% sure.
All right. Well, let's hope the feds aren't putting all their resources into power politicking against President Trump. And they're actually looking at some of this. We'll be right back, everybody. We're going to rejoin Adam on the other side of the bottom of the hour news break here with today's news talk.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Russia has summoned an emergency session of the UN Security Council to discuss the situation at Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which has been the subject of regular shelling attacks. China has announced an end to the unprecedented military exercises around Taiwan, which were launched following the controversial visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taipei. The U.S. had a better-than-expected report for July. Zero inflation.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm joined by Adam Lowe here in this second segment of the second hour of the Ryan McLean Show here on today's news talk. Now, Adam, we've been talking about, this is the second time I've had you on, and we've been talking about corruption in Los Angeles. There's a lot going on there. The reporting that you and CC are both doing on this is greatly appreciated. I'm really glad you're able to join us here because, you know, this story, this is like a series of stories that sort of connect in like a star and hub pattern here. And there's a lot of things that need to be looked at. We talk a lot on this show about the state of California and the state of the culture there and the state of the legal system there, the political system there. It's an absolute mess. So I want to thank you for everything you and CC are doing and bringing that to the show. Before we get into this Olympic controversy, I'm curious with regards to the Gascon count. Do you know anything about the methods by which this count is being corrupted potentially? Because it really does sound like the recall should go through. It sounds like there are plenty of signatures. So I'm just wondering what the rub here is.
So, you know, I don't know too much about how Dean Logan and his crew, I mean, obviously there is a methodology to how they do it. You know, it's one of the concerns that I have, and this was in the news earlier this week, is that they're not being transparent about it. And, you know, look, whether the rules say that you have to show people how you're counting or you don't have to show people how you're counting. The big challenge is that the county of Los Angeles, these guys like Kuehl and Dean Logan and Max Huntsman, who is the Dean Logan is the registrar recorder, and Max Huntsman oversee is the OIG. They don't want to be transparent. They don't want you to see how the sausages are made. But when you turn it around, they want Alex Villanueva and the LA County Sheriff's Department to be very transparent about everything. And so, I was very involved in the first recall of Gascon that didn't work. I had sort of took a backseat on this one. I don't have a huge background on how they're counting them. My only concern is on a corruption level, which is, my area of expertise, is they should be doing it transparently. There is no reason that a monitor can't sit in that room. No reason for that. So, again, it's going to look, what's going to end up happening is whether it's approved or disapproved, this is going to go to court. Someone's going to object to the county. So, it's really, if they were doing it in a transparent way, would save the taxpayers a tremendous amount of money. Because what we also forget is that every time that the LA County Board of Supervisors sues the sheriff or someone sues the county, it's millions of dollars in legal fees. And guess what? Guess who's paying that? I'm paying that. It's being taken away from my tax dollars. It's being taken away from dollars that could go to help those experiencing homelessness. We waste so much money arguing over this kind of stuff where we could just make it transparent. So again, it's all part of the public corruption that goes on here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I imagine once it does get approved or disapproved and then inevitably move into some sort of legal proceedings, that just not only taxes the public, financially, but it also puts them in a situation where the whole matter is locked up in legal proceedings that could last as long as this person's appointment. You know what I mean? It's like it could give them, even if it were to be disapproved, go to legal proceedings, and then turn out to be approved after legal proceedings, they've still bought themselves, X amount of weeks, months, years in the position to, shore up all their dirty deeds.
Yeah. And, the other issue here is, and most people don't know this, is, you got a guy like Steve Cooley who wrote this letter and is objecting to it. But, if you Google Steve Cooley, and, we know quite a bit about him and his buddy, Mr. Philibosian, another former DA here in Los Angeles. These two guys have been accused of, and there's a lot of evidence of corruption between Cooley, who's leading this charge, Philibosian, who is another former DA, worked for the law firm of Shepard Mullin, who was involved in the Millennium Tower, scandal. So, there's just, it's so intertwined. It's a tough one for me because while I agree with the recall people, I agree with some of Gascon's stuff, but what I'm seeing, and it comes back to something that I've been talking about for a while, is we don't have statesmen in this country. We have a bunch of people who want to fight. And you know what? It's not our generation that's going to suffer from this. It's going to be the massive impact on our children. My children walk to school and are confronted by homeless, and I feel just incredibly compassionate for those people experiencing homelessness, but it also has an impact on them. I actually got into my daughter was really mad at me yesterday because we were going into Target and there was a man experiencing homelessness that said lost his job. I had a sign that said, I lost my job. I need some help. And, my daughter, we do a lot with homeless individuals with helping out. She goes, why didn't you help that guy? He lost his job, Dad. And I said, well, that's because I didn't help him because he was sitting under a sign at Target that says we're hiring. So it's just, there's a mess. It's a mess.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And I think CeCe might have been onto something there with the San Francisco recall having gone through. Like maybe they didn't think that was going to happen. Maybe they thought their electioneering tactics and counting tactics were going to stop that from happening. But since it did, now we've got the Biden, we've got Biden, Mr. Let's Go Brandon, we've got Kamala Harris, we've got the Clintons all saying, you know, that they want to support, you know, the whole thing that they're trying to set up there with Karen Bass and obviously keeping Gascon in office. So, yeah, this whole concept of DC getting their fingers in there, that really seems to make sense when you kind of like scale back and look at the whole picture holistically.
And I don't think for a minute that 5 minutes after Karen Bass is sworn in that a committee to recall Karen Bass will be filed. It's inevitable.
So we may just end up in an eternal feedback loop here of legislation, recounting and recalling.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I think that's very possible. You know, I think that, I mean, Gascon was in office for like a couple of weeks before they filed that recall petition. So, you know, I can't imagine that won't happen.
Right. All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes out for that. That seems to be an ongoing theme. All right, so tell me about this Olympic controversy. What's going on here? You got another breaking story. I couldn't even find anything about this online, so this is like an exclusive here.
So about a year ago, I had some individuals come to me and say, hey, we have some concerns about something that's going on in USA skateboarding. And I said, you know, look, it's not just word of mouth, you have to show me. So we went through a whole bunch of evidence that I felt was pretty convincing. And so I reached out to the U.S. Olympic Committee and said, hey, you know, these things are happening. I've got ample, you know, witnesses that will testify to it, blah, blah, blah. And so I received an email from a woman named Holly Scheck, who is a former U.S. attorney and is now the ethics officer for U.S. Olympics. And we went back and forth about a number of different things, but about financial corruption, about gender discrimination. You know, there were a number of different things. So, you know, we got the World Skateboarding Organization involved. We got the U.S. Olympic Committee involved. We got the International Olympic Committee involved. And, you know, long story short, they all conducted investigations and decided that there was no misconduct at USA Skateboarding. And so, you know, it was a time when we were going through pandemics and all that stuff. So, you know, my firm just kind of dropped it because, you know, we got a very long letter from attorneys threatening us that there would be consequences and threatening us about our reputation if we continued to attack the Olympics. And then we got an email from the U.S. Olympic Committee saying they did a thorough investigation and nothing. They found nothing. Well, roll up a year, and I was looking at some feeds on Instagram, and I start to see all of the board members from the U.S. Olympic Committee for skateboarding resigning. And so I talked to my team, and I said, go look into this and see what's going on. Well, as it turns out, an audit was done, and the audit found that there were, I believe, and I'm not looking at the audit right in front of me, that of the 48 different things that the USA Skateboarding was supposed to be doing, they were to be compliant. They only did 12 of them, and there was financial mismanagement. There was athlete abuse. They refused to turn over the SafeSport, which is the investigative body that's supposed to investigate abuse. So that happened, and the result of it was that the chairman of the board for USA Skateboarding had to resign. The CEO, who had actually been his rights to oversee the finances of the NGO, had been revoked, and he was forced to resign. And we now have this report that says there were, you know, there was all these different different financial fraud. And I also have a letter from the U.S. Olympic committee saying that nothing was, that we were wrong and that there was no corruption. So, you know, one of the things that we see with the Olympics, right, is we've seen all of these abuse scandals. We've seen people go to prison for sexual molestation, all this stuff. And, you know, in many of these cases, the U.S. Olympic committee was not aware. The International Olympic Committee was not aware. The governing body, in this case, it would have been World Skate, but in gymnastics, it was different. They didn't know, and that's a legitimate excuse. In this case, in the run up to the Tokyo Olympics, the U.S. Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, and the overseeing body for the sport were made fully aware of the corruption. They were made fully aware of the abuse to athletes, and they denied it. They held the Olympics, and then after the Olympics happened, they released this audit. So they knew, and they covered it up.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. Let's pick up on that thread after a quick break here. We're going to go to a station break with today's news talk.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look, TNT listeners, the rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think, you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the East Coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT. Asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
I came to clean and noticed there was no food in the house.
She told me her sister just forgot to pay a few bills.
He was in for his monthly trim. When I noticed the bruising.
Is there anything I can do?
Thousands of older Australians experience elder abuse every year. If you're concerned about someone you know, you don't need to have all the answers. Call 1-800-ELDER-HELP for free confidential information and support.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm joined by Adam Lowe, and we're talking about this issue here with the Olympics, particularly with regard to the USA skateboarding team. It sounds like this went pretty poorly here. The fact that the overseeing bodies knew about this type of corruption and abuse, and then threatened you and your firm about the information that you were submitting, and then held the Olympics like nothing was wrong, and then quietly had the USA skateboarding board members resign. That says a lot right there to me about how the Olympics ranks the importance of safety and appropriate treatment of their athletes compared with their income, their production, and all that stuff. I mean, this is pretty bad that they knew, all three governing bodies and overseeing bodies knew about this, and then went ahead and just did the Olympics, and then tried to quietly sweep it under the rug. They should have known they wouldn't be able to quietly sweep it under the rug after the communications that you'd already had with them. But I don't know. How's this happen?
Well, you look, it's billions of dollars that are at stake here. If you want to know, you know, one of the other things that was really trying to us, we actually, as you know, Toyota and some other major companies sponsor the Olympics, and we actually provided those sponsors as well with this information, and they continued to sponsor these teams. It's about money. It's about money. These bodies that are involved in the Olympics, from what I can tell and what we've investigated, they're very powerful. But they're, I mean, if you think about the Olympic scandals that we've had, especially with gymnastics and some of the other sports, it's about money, and they're going to cover it up, just as, you know, the Board of Supervisors covers stuff up. It all comes down to the money. But in this case, what's troubling is in this case, they knew and they did nothing. Interestingly enough, the two of the board members who were forced to resign from the U.S. Olympic team governance were put in charge of the World Skate, and the chairman of the board for USA Skateboarding is going to be in charge of the Paris 2024 Olympics. They don't care, because they have expensive lawyers. They have people who will threaten small companies like mine. They will threaten kids. They will threaten parents. They will threaten whoever they want. And so it's a big deal. These Olympic sports are very competitive, obviously. They're very political, obviously. And it's trying. And we're going to see a lot more of this as we go into Paris, the Paris Olympics. I think you're going to see a lot more whistleblowers on mismanagement. But, you know, again, what frightens me is that we have a former assistant U.S. attorney, who was supposed to protect these kids and these young adults, and she failed. And the president of the U.S. Olympic Committee failed to protect kids. So, you know, when you have competitive kids in sports and you're telling them that they want to train for the Olympics, it's an incredibly difficult thing to do. And then as a parent, having to turn them over to people that you know are not going to protect them, it's just another slice into the society that, you know, we could be, but aren't, because of money and corruption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Our Olympic athletes have always been such a big deal in this country, you know, and to think that this is going on is it's a little frightening. So can we talk any more about the grievances, like what particularly happened to some of the skateboarders on the team?
While we don't know exactly what happened to the skateboarders, we know that there were some issues such as human trafficking that we were looking at. Again, these are all allegations. They have not been proven, but these are the things we were looking at. We were looking at gender discrimination within the organization. We were looking at racial discrimination within the organization. The serious, serious things. There was couple of years ago, there was a allegation of sexual abuse in the organization that was cleared. So, you know, again, it's hard to tell what actually was happening because, you know, the audit that we have clearly shows that bad stuff was happening, but, you know, and they failed on a whole bunch of different levels. But without being able to go in there, and the U.S. Olympic Committee refusing to provide us the information to actually look at, we really can't get into the nuts and bolts of it, because you know what we have is this audit, and this audit is bad. This audit should shut down USA Skateboarding as the organization it is right now, and it should be rebuilt. That won't happen. That's part of it. And, you know, you think about the people that were involved, you know, Mickey Vukovic, who's got very close ties to Tony Hawk. I think he used to run the Tony Hawk Foundation. But you know, you've got these power people, not just the Olympic people, the people who run the Olympics, but you have industry. I mean, think of the power of a guy like Tony Hawk, right? And the money and all of these different things. And it's all interconnected, right? The Barracks, which is one of the most famous skate parks in the world. It is a private skate park. They were hosting events for US Olympics. You know, that's incredibly, the Barracks has millions of followers in social media, millions. So it's, those are huge, huge, huge obstacles to overcome. And, you know, when we, you know, as an organization, we always, you know, A-Team Advocacy is always puts the safety of our employees, the safety of our whistleblowers, and everyone first. I mean, that is our first and foremost thing. You can come threaten me. That doesn't usually work because I'm a higher profile individual. But the people who are not, the people who are every day, really protect their safety because we do deal with very, very vindictive people. So, you know, after we were threatened by the lawyers, we shut it down because we were just fearful for the safety of our people, of our whistleblowers. There were children involved in this, and we didn't want anyone to get hurt, either financially or physically. And those are the things you have to consider quite a bit when you have investigations into public corruption.
Right. That makes good sense, you know, and you know, I don't know if it's fair for me to separate skateboarders from other athletes in the Olympics, but maybe I'm just doing that because I was a skateboarder when I was younger. And, you know, especially for skateboarders, it's like there are so many of them out there, so many amazing skateboarders that are worthy of, you know, Olympic level skateboarders out there, arguably skateboarding, snowboarding, some of these newer sports to the Olympics are so much more popular and widely available to average everyday kids, maybe other sports are not as popular with, or they're not something people just pick up and do because they love it. So the desire to be an Olympic skateboarder or snowboarder or some of these other sports that are a little bit more, forgive the term, pedestrian than, you know, say like synchronized swimming or something, makes it kind of a crowded environment, a lot of blue collar kids interested in it and will do anything to get in there, and their parents will do anything to help them get in there. And if you've got overseeing agencies that are too big to fail, too big to be held accountable, too big to be correctly named as criminal aggressors, you know, too big to be culpable for abuse, and then you get board members resigning, and what do? It's not like their resignations were an admission of guilt. They get new jobs. They get better jobs. That says something about where this whole system is going, Adam. And I really want to thank you for everything that you've done here today on the show. I'll hand it over to you for any final words. Be sure and let people know how to find you if they need your help.
Yeah. So just on the skateboarding front, so my daughter is a pretty avid skateboarder. When she was 6 years old, she won the U.S. Olympic Ghost Skate Day contest. And, you know, that was a huge moment of pride for us. And as we got to know USA Skateboarding and, you know, sort of followed the Olympics and all those things, it definitely, my daughter, we will not allow her to in any way, shape or form be associated with the U.S. Olympic team or the USA Skateboarding or the other, you know, any of these governing bodies. Yeah. So, you know, when parents in skateboarding, you know, a different type of sport, you're looking at professional status by the time you're, you know, 12 or 13, you know, like people like Sky Brown.
That's so, right.
You know,
I hate to cut you off right here. I could talk skateboarding all day, but we got news. Thank you.